in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You won't have a better, more comprehensive, more interesting, really, statement of personal faith in the Lord Jesus, that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who is this? Hopefully. Okay. I'm sure you'll know instantly who this man is. Okay, what's the next picture, Trevor? Obviously there isn't one. Okay. Who is it? Anyone like to tell me? You don't know his name, do you? That's the trouble. You know who he is, you know what he did, but you don't know his name. And I have to keep reminding myself what it was all week, otherwise I was going to forget it, because I'm terrible with names. Who is it? Someone give it a try. Marcus. That's right. Felix Baumgartner. And you know him because... Why do you know Felix Baumgartner? Max? He did. He jumped out of this pod here. Do you know how high it was? Max is pretty well right. It was on the edge of space. Right on the edge. Do you know how many miles it was? Come on then, Nigel. 13. I think that's right. How many miles was it? 24. It was just over, ever mind, if you can remember all those numbers of your service numbers, then you'll remember that. It was just over 24 miles high. It is the highest that any person has ever had jumped free fall. And also, he broke another record. Anyone like to tell me what it was? It was the sound barrier. You must put your hand up, Chris, otherwise I'm afraid you have to do the washing up later. Yes, it was the sound barrier. The only time a person has actually, as it were, themselves, not in a vehicle, has actually broken the sound barrier. How many miles an hour was he doing? You didn't put your hand up, but you're wrong.
750.
Nearly. No. It was 833.9 miles an hour. That's what he was travelling at. Can you imagine that, plummeting through the earth at that, or to the earth at that speed? What is the actual sound barrier that he had to break? How many miles an hour do you have to travel to break the sound barrier? Justin is looking down because I'm going to pick on him as a scientist. He should know this. Nigel. It's not actually. No. Yeah, it's 768 miles an hour is about the sound barrier, but you're right, it has to do with atmosphere and all sorts of things, I am told. So that's what he did. If it had been me, I'd have stayed at home and watched an episode of Downton Abbey. But he decided he wanted to jump out of this pod and plummet to the earth. Actually, I do have to confess that Downton Abbey has not particularly turned me on, but I have never been the same since Desperate Housewives finished. That was just tragic to me. My life has just been empty of any excitement since Desperate Housewives came to an end. I'm just looking around to see those who recognise what I'm talking about, and it's far more than would like to confess, I suspect. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about Felix Baumgartner at all. I'm going to talk about someone else. I'm going to talk about this man, who you will know immediately. Who is this man? He's clearly in the RAF. He was a sergeant in the RAF, so just like Bob, and like my dad, actually, he was in the RAF. Who do you think it is? Everyone thinks it's Douglas Bader, but it's not. It's not Douglas Bader. There's a number of things you could say about Douglas Bader, one of which is that he was a dreadful man. But there you go. I don't want to spoil your illusions about Douglas Bader, but he was an appalling man to work with, apparently. Pat?
Was it Peter Baumgartner?
It wasn't Guy Gibson, but a good guess, because he looks a bit like Guy Gibson, who was in the Dambusters, and we're going to sing a hymn at the end, which is to the great Dambusters tune. You'll recognise it if you know the film. No, this is a man named Norman Jackson. Sergeant Norman Jackson. Know who he is? No? Well, he's one of the RAF people who won this medal. What medal is that? Come on, what medal is that? Marcus? It is. It's the Victoria Cross. What would we be without Marcus? It would be hopeless, wouldn't we? He knows all the answers, and he keeps everything under control at the back with his friends. It's the Victoria Cross. And Norman won the Victoria Cross for a tremendous reason. I'm on a good thing here, because you don't know him. So I can tell you all about him. It is an incredible story about Norman. He had actually already done 30 missions in a Lancaster bomber. He was a Lancaster bomber, not a pilot. He was the flight engineer. He looked after all the engines and all the equipment on that bomber. That was his job. And Norman had already done 30 very, very, very dangerous missions. So basically, his tour was over. He didn't have to do any more missions at all. Now, what would you have done? Well, I think I'd have gone my bike and ridden home as fast as I could. But he didn't. He was so fond of his crew. He was so committed to his crew. You could say he loved his crew. That when they went on their 31st mission for him, he went with them. Nothing was going to stop him from going with his crew. He didn't need to go, but he went anyway. And that is something, you know, that we need to always remember, that God owes us nothing. That Jesus didn't come to the earth because God sees us as really lovely people. And that he just can't help himself but come and help us. God doesn't see things quite like we do. We think we're lovely. We think we can understand why Jesus would want to come to the earth for us. But that is not the case. God loves us, and that's why he sent the Lord Jesus. But the reality is, we don't love him, do we? And most of our weeks are spent without giving God a thought. Isn't that true? We just don't think about it from one day to the next. And apart from just ignoring him and keeping him out of our lives, we have all those things which just build up in our lives, don't we? The things we've said that have been awful, the things we've done which we are utterly ashamed of, and then even then, the things that are in our minds, which sometimes, you know, are so bad, aren't they? Just what grips our thinking. And all of those things, and yet, Paul could say that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and came for me. That even though that is all true, God still sent his Son to us. Right. Well, Norman was on his way back in his Lancaster from his mission when they were attacked by a German fighter. And the plane, the starboard wing of the plane, near to the engine, caught fire. And Norman and the rest of the crew knew they were finished. That there was no way they were going to get this plane back to England and save themselves. But Norman, who cared so much for his crew, and as the flight engineer, decided that if anyone was going to do something, it had got to be him. So you know what he did? He opened the hatch, which is above the pilot at the front there. You can see it just on the top of the fuselage. And he climbed out onto the side of the plane. Now, you don't look very impressed. Now, I have to tell you that when I stand on that platform, I feel dizzy and I'm going to have a nosebleed any minute. This plane was traveling at 22,000 feet and at 200 miles an hour, and the temperature was several degrees below freezing. But Norman had put a fire extinguisher into his flying jacket, climbed out of the plane onto the fuselage, onto the side of the plane, with a view to putting out the fire. This was incredibly dangerous. In fact, as he climbed, well, I don't need me to tell you that, do you? As he climbed out, his parachute opened, just to add complication to things, and it apparently billowed into the cockpit. So now he was outside the plane, his parachute was on the inside. Some of the crew grabbed hold of all the lines on the parachute to hold on to it, hoping that they could hold on to him in the process. But he now was outside the plane in incredible danger. In fact, his crew later on, after the war, said that they knew that when Norman climbed out of the plane, he was never going to get back in. This was death for him. There was no way he would survive what he was doing. But he went anyway in all that danger, which you and I can only imagine. And when Paul writes about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who gave himself for him and for us, we remind ourselves, and we've been doing that in Mark's Gospel, that when Jesus stepped onto this earth, he didn't come to a lovely, welcoming place. There were no celebrations amongst people, really, that Jesus was there. In fact, we've been reading in Mark's Gospel that people hated him. That he stepped into a world that was full of disease and death. That politically things were in turmoil. That people were murderous. And you could lose your life just like that. That's the world that Christ, the Lord Jesus, stepped into. Into incredible danger that gathered around him all his life. And we've been reading that, haven't we, in Mark's Gospel. Life was exceptionally dangerous and difficult for the Lord Jesus. But he came anyway. He stepped out of heaven anyway for you and I, as Paul writes. Well, Norman's adventures are not quite over yet, because, as you can imagine, we're traveling at 200 miles an hour and at 22,000 feet. The slipstream must have been incredible. You just can't imagine, can you, the pressure on him. And he was blown off the fuselage. We're not surprised, are we? And he landed on the wing. So now he's on the wing where the fire is. And he's holding on to a strut on the wing, right next to the fire, and the fire extinguisher falls out of his jacket. So now he's hanging on the wing. There's a fire all around him. There's nothing he can do about it. Things can't get worse. Well, actually, they can. Because the fighter comes back. And the German fighter then starts to fire again at this Lancaster bomber. And Norman is hit in the legs by shrapnel. And he's hit in the shoulder by shrapnel. Hanging on to the wing. His crew now realize there's no way they're going to save the plane. They bail out. Sounds a bit callous, really, but they haven't got much choice. So they bail out. Norman is now on the plane, on his own, and gripping on for his life. Unfortunately, eventually, he loses his grip. And he flies off the wing. But his parachute is still stuck in the cockpit. And he is now apparently trailing behind the plane, held just by his parachute in the cockpit. Unfortunately, as he was flying off the plane, he goes through the flames, and his hands apparently were terribly burned by the fuel and so on that was burning on the wing. And, of course, he's injured in his legs and in his shoulder. He's now flying, basically like Baumgartner, in midair, held by his parachute. Eventually, remarkably, his parachute came free. And he plummeted to the ground. And I use the word advisedly, because two-thirds of his parachute had been blown away and had caught fire. So he was flying to the ground from 22,000 feet with only a third of his parachute. And he just hurtled to the ground. But that's not the end of it. Because the remarkable thing is, he lands on some very thick bushes and lives. He just breaks a leg. I mean, it's bad enough. He's already wounded and burned and all that. But he breaks a leg and he survives. But isn't that an incredible story. And you didn't know it, which is a good thing, because I'm telling it to you. And it'd been embarrassing if I said, oh, we heard this story before. So it's an amazing story. And he survived the war as a prisoner of war. But the thing about Norman is that he did all of that, really giving his life, although in his case he survived, but giving his life for his crew. They meant so much to him that he was prepared to give himself and to go through all of that for his crew. And of course, that's what Paul is saying. He says, I live my life by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. In other words, the Lord Jesus also gave himself on the cross, did he not? And his hands were also terribly scarred by the nails that nailed him to the cross. And his feet were also terribly scarred by the nails that nailed him to the cross. But Jesus went to the cross for us. And he didn't save his life. He went to death. Why? That you and I, this morning, might be those, like the Apostle Paul, who can say he gave himself for me. That we might be forgiven. That we might be those who know God this morning and love God. That we might be those who have a new life to live for God. I'm told that Norman was a very religious man all through his life and during this time. In fact, he testified that he prayed harder than anyone before a mission. Well, that doesn't surprise you, does it? And he prayed harder than anyone after his mission. But he said, all of them prayed. Everyone prayed. It's just they didn't talk about it. And that's what we need to be doing today. We need not just to see the love of God that sends his Son to this poor earth, this broken earth, that we've been thinking about this morning. Not only that the Lord Jesus stood on this earth in all that immense danger, but that the Lord Jesus gave himself, who for? For me. We need to make it personal. We need to be those this morning who pray the personal prayer, that the Lord Jesus would be my Savior, that I would live my life for him, that I might know that all the wrong things and the mess-ups that are part of my life have been forgiven by God himself through the Son of God who gave himself for me.